He is a veteran who was never in a war zone, yet as a crew chief, he witnessed traumatic deaths as comrades were injured and killed on flight lines. Scott Aubin dealt with his stress by drinking and admits now that he internalized his emotions. He eventually was discharged from the Air Force and spent time in jail. Following a suicide attempt, Aubin was treated for post-traumatic stress and turned his life around. He began working for the New York State Department of Criminal Justice Services to tell his story about undiagnosed PTSD and suicide. Aubin tells WAMC North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley that it is still difficult to talk about his past.
Because every time you kind of relive each and every moment, you know, I mean, I experienced death when I was a child, but in my adult life, you know, especially in the military, it just seemed like it always followed me. It always seemed like there was one thing after another. So it really, when I start getting into it and start reliving all these moments, it's like I'm really reliving it with the audience and, you know, with myself. And it's very difficult, but it helps me while I'm helping others.
So why do it?
One of the things I learned throughout the period of my counseling and my recovery with PTSD was the element of words, you know, using your words. And I always associate it with like a champagne bottle. You know, you keep on shaking up that bottle. If you don't have a relief valve, you don't relieve the pressure, eventually the cork's going to blow. And your relief is your words, is your communication. Yeah, I struggle with it. Yes, I get very emotional. But in the end, you know, I've let that release out, and I feel better about it.
Your traumas started basically when you were a preteen.
Yes.
With a rape. But that was an era when people did not talk about rape, child rape, violent sex of any kind. Do you think that that lack of acknowledgement led to and contributed to your internalizing that and the other crises that happened over the course of your life?
Yes, very much so. I honestly believe that because of what happened to me as a child, and this went on for 2 years, back then there was a huge stigma of you just don't talk about it. And because of that, at 10 years old, I learned to be a pretty good master manipulator of my family and my friends by not letting that cat out of the bag. But I also internalized everything, and I kept the bottle up. That set the course for me as an adult, especially when I started going through my military traumas, where I was always, you know, whenever they confronted me or asked me, Scott, are you okay? Yeah, I'm good. That's what I told people. I'm good, because I didn't want to raise the red flag.
Scott Aubin, you witnessed death as part of your military career.
Mine were not wartime related, but it's still just as violent. I was involved with a tire explosion where I watched one guy get decapitated. You know, I watched four guys burn to death in Saudi Arabia when an airplane blew up.
Page 100 of your book seems to summarize a lot of what you were writing about. One of the lines on page 100 says, in my world, in my mess back then, I didn't care. I felt like I was going to die anyways. There were 9 years of not caring what happened next. And that led to basically a suicide attempt by you. How do you think everything changed for you and led to your life now in trying to help veterans?
You know, in 2005, I lost my career with the military because they forced me out because I was struggling so bad, and they had no idea why. So it was easier for them to just to let me go. I also lost my father, and I went through a very nasty divorce. And so from 2005 until 2014, I lived 9 years of white knuckling. You know, I was experiencing all my traumas. I was experiencing a lot of substance abuse, mostly alcohol. I was just living my life like, I don't care what happens because tomorrow's the day I'm going to die. The sad part about it is with suicide, you get to the point where once the determination is made, I'm going to do it. There's actually a kind of a sense of calm about it. And I remember that morning very vividly thinking, that's it, I'm going to do it. And I set the stage, I called the cops, I tied the rope, I did everything right up to the point where I stepped off the ladder. And it was at that moment, that very split second of stepping off that ladder, I realized, oh my God, what did I just do? Because I really didn't want to die. You know, you want that pain to end. Nobody wants to die. You just want the pain to end. And thank God the knot I tied against the wall let go. And that's where things after I got my recovery or went away and got help in Brattleboro with my PTSD, with the substance abuse, ended up getting my service dog Dash. You know, things just fell into place where eventually I was talking to a veteran in the Clinton County Jail. And they invited me to come on in and talk to this veteran because he was struggling as well. And then before I knew it, then I'm getting invited to talk to the state. And now I travel around the state of New York talking to veterans as well as law enforcement about PTSD awareness. And all I do is tell my story. So it kind of took on its own life. And I never actually looked to do that. You know, it just, I got to the lowest of lows, and that was my defining moment as to, you know, set forward the path that I'm on now.
You did get into a lot of trouble. You had a divorce. You were in jail. You called yourself earlier in the conversation a master manipulator. There are still critics out there who say you shouldn't be writing a book. You shouldn't be out there telling your story and, as they would say, quote unquote, helping people. How do you respond to critics like that?
I always find that it's easier sometimes to hate than it is to forgive. I own my past. I own who I was. I call myself a dirtbag. You know, I literally called myself a dirtbag in the book. And yeah, you know, I own who I was. I was not a very nice person. But if you always hold people to their past, how are they ever going to get better when moving forward?
Dash is your service dog. How important has she been for you?
Well, Dash is my 160-pound Great Dane service dog, and she is absolutely amazing. She changed my life. And, you know, when I got her, I was just, you know, only weeks, you know, a couple months into my recovery and starting to come to terms with what I went through. We've been together for 5 years now, so it's been an amazing journey.
Scott Aubin has just published a book, Not Today, that bluntly describes his life before and after recovery. An extended conversation is at WAMC.org. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.